Lil, do you think it's pronounced Norwich or Norwich?
Yes.
Right. Apart from a great cathedral, a soccer team referred to as the Canaries, and proximity to the North Sea, these days,
Norwich
can also proudly claim to have added Rebecca Bond to the hallowed ranks of key midweek drivettes. Hi, this is Phil Lairness, sitting alongside my wife, Lily Lairness. As we travel through the third decade of the 21st century, it's good to know that the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions continue to produce a minimum of 4 hours of weekly audio goodness on Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
The Midweek Drive, always keen to support new music and new exciting bands and new musicians and a variety of other folk as well. And when you've got a singer-songwriter from St. Albans in the UK, influenced by bands such as Radiohead, Smashing Pumpkins and Pixies, clearly they deserve to actually have a lot of time to actually share their joys and wonderment with us. So we're delighted to actually welcome the wonderful Mark J. Gidden. How are you, Mark?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
We're very good indeed. Now, adding to that, of course, we also have on the team Rebecca Bond. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Rebecca. Nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you.
And we also have Katie Grimerson. How are you, Katie?
Hello, I'm good. Hope you are as well.
We're all working through that. And of course, joining us at this very moment, from North Carolina, where they're flying the flag in so many wondrous ways, even though the flag measurement is still actually up for grabs. Jessica understands what it's all about. How are you, Jessica Burtis?
I am doing pretty well. Finished all my midterms today, so it is a good day and I'm happy to be here.
Well, there you go. So what better way than to actually celebrate the music of Mark Gidden? Mark, we've just actually heard one of your fabulous pieces of music that we've sent through the system from that point of view. Let's turn to Rebecca first and foremost. What did you make of your first experience of Mark Gidden magic?
I'll tell you what, I absolutely love these music features. I'm constantly being introduced to fantastic artists, and this one is no exception. It's probably one of my favourites we've come across recently. I loved the vibe of it. I've been listening to it for the past hour or so. Also made it to my playlist, and Alex knows that that's a very serious comment to be made there. I absolutely loved it. Wow. Fantastic. One of my favourites, yeah.
Not fooling yourself. Absolutely genuine fool yourself on that system, which is truly tremendous. Okay, so far so good, Mark. Let's turn over to Katie. Wow. What did you make of Fool Yourself?
Yeah, it was really good. You can definitely hear the Radiohead influences in it.
This is
brilliant.
Positive.
Thanks very much.
But the big question, Mark, is much like the Beatles, can you break America? And of course, the first step in that is obviously going to North Carolina. Jessica, what did you make of this particular number?
I completely agree. I really enjoyed it. I was listening to the album and it's amazing. I think this musical style is just so good and so timeless and classic. It's so good.
Well, that's it then, Mark. Obviously, the interview's a success. You've passed the audition. You can move on, which is brilliant stuff there. Let's open it up to questions, I think. In fact, Jessica, would you like to throw a few questions to Mark about Life and Times? Because I suspect you may not have even heard of St. Albans in the joys of Appalachia or indeed North Carolina.
I have not. Where is that?
So it's just north of London. Yeah, just a few miles north of London. Little town's got a cathedral. It's a nice place.
Oh, I miss it over there a lot.
Next time you can check out St. Albans and Peterborough. I mean, the glamour is just amazing, you know, superb. Anyway, questions for Mark.
So in St. Albans, did you kind of start your music journey there? Did you kind of like build up your music scene, or did you kind of go somewhere else to do that?
There is a great music scene in St. Albans, actually. There's a place called The Horn, which is like a pub with a music room in the back with a stage. And I do some performing there sometimes in the open mic sessions they have there. But actually, yeah, I was in Peterborough before. So I was in a band called Traveller back in the 2000s in Peterborough. And that was a good experience. Lots of gigging. And so I brought my songs to people there through that band before I moved down to St. Albans a bit later.
That's awesome.
And Katie, obviously being based in the heartland of England, of course, in Birmingham, and also being a keen Oasis fan, we have to say it every time you're on the show on a weekly basis. Any thoughts from yourself that you'd like to put to Mark?
Yeah, so what kind of other bands do you like listening to? Because Radiohead's an influence. I just wanted to know who else you're a fan of.
Well, I mean, actually, I've been listening to the Beatles a lot lately. So I quite like the old, really old stuff.
That's really old, Mark. The Beatles, really. I mean, that's almost Cro-Magnon, that.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's quite a good influence, really, quite a big influence on me. Other bands, that classic bands from the 90s, like Nirvana and Pixies. But quite a few more recent bands. The Amazons are a UK band that I really like at the moment. And there's a band called My Vitriol, who I saw in 2019, just before lockdown. They're a really good live band. I really enjoyed them.
I recommend listening to Royal Blood. They're really good. I discovered them in the lockdown as well, and I really love them now.
Bands discovered in lockdown. It could be a whole new series. Rebecca, we already know what a significant part in Mark J. Giddens' career it is being added to your playlist. And Mark, I kid thee not, this is very important. Any questions you'd like to put to Mark about, well, anything really?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm interested to know, Mark, with your songwriting process, is there a process? And what are you inspired by? How does that work? Could you talk us through that a bit?
Well, I've got my acoustic guitar. I don't know if you can see that, but I just tend to, when I'm in a particular mood, I guess, and feel like doing something musically, I just kind of tend to try various strange chords and just see where it goes, really. That kind of comes first, and then the words just tend to kind of start off a little bit ropey, and then I work on them a bit later. So that's
kind of trust the process, let's say. You know, it kind of just happens. And do you find that that's how you get your creative flow going? Do you just kind of work with, you know, what inspires you at the time and maybe things happening in your life? Or is it anything particular? Or as you say, is it just, you know, whatever comes first?
It's very much sort of in the moment. So whatever however I'm feeling in a particular moment, or what I've been thinking about, if I've got a bit of spare time, I'll just grab the guitar really and just try something. And most of the time I don't come up with anything that I like, but I try and record little snippets of stuff, and then I might come back to it later. It might be even be 6 months, a year later, and I think I'll try and turn that into a song.
Oh, interesting.
And I appreciate this is radio, Mark, but I actually sort of switched my camera off as well, because I thought, well, that's too much shocking. I think somehow you switched your own camera off. So we actually got a very brief, very, very brief glimpse. We're talking probably about 5 seconds of yourself and your background. But at present, we just see the wonderful line, Mark J. Gidden, which is fine. I mean, that's perfectly okay. Oh, he's live.
Right, oh, he's live.
Yes, we can see them now, and we can see yourself. So all's well with the world. We have contact once again. Brilliant. Jessica, you listened to the album. This is a Mark J. Giddens special. What tune would you like us to actually feature next? And then we can probably ask Mark about it when we actually come back.
Get to choose? Oh, okay.
You do get to choose, Jessica. It's your celebration midterm scenario here, so I'm sure you get to choose.
Oh, that's really hard. I like so many of them. Okay, I think Disaffected. That was probably my favorite.
Well, there you go. Disaffected it shall be.
Jessica Burtis flying the flag for North Carolina across the solar system.
Did you know that in 1991, a bill was passed by the North Carolina Senate changing the official proportions of the state flag from a length 1/3 more than its width to a length 1/2 more than its width?
Wow, there must not be a lot going on in the North Carolina Senate for them to have that kind of time on their hands.
And there we have it, Disaffected. Mark, talk to us about it. Would that have been your choice? Or is it a case of Jessica? Why did you go for Disaffected when there are so many other things you could have gone for?
That would have that might have been my choice. That was one of the singles off the album, and one I was working on for quite a long time to get the sound kind of how I wanted it. But yeah, good choice.
There you are. I see positive stuff on that side of things. Obviously, the social media scene is vital. And I noticed, obviously, Spotify is there. Facebook is around from that point of view. There's a wonderful track in terms of actually on your Facebook page where you actually refer to Roy's Groove Machine, which sounds quite strange in its own way. Different radio station, but I believe it's actually Mad Was Radio, or Mad Wasp Radio, in fact. You know,
yes.
More or less a sting in the tail, perhaps. Do you find that in terms of the social media, it's a chore? Do you wish you had somebody else to do it for you? Do you think, okay, fine, it's the way music is in the 21st century? Or is it a case of, well, I can't be bothered with a website, so I'm just going to go with the socials?
Well, a bit of all of that, probably. It's nice to be able to just get stuff out there like so quickly. You know, instantaneously, you've got a message or sharing a video or a song out there. So that's the great thing about it. So, yeah, can't complain, really.
That's fine. And do you have a favourite? Is TikTok likely to be emerging in the near future as a kind of, we'll see Mark J. Gidden dance moves and such like?
Well, I don't think anybody wants to see my dance moves. So, the videos I've been doing, I haven't done too many of them, but I want to do some more. I just kind of me with the acoustic guitar during lockdown at home, just kind of trying to get some unplugged versions of the tracks out there. So that's probably... the kind of videos you'll see from me.
Okay, well, lockdown is Rebecca Bond's speciality because she loves asking musicians about how do you cope with it with lockdown. So, Rebecca, over to you.
I do. I was wondering if you missed, you know, being able to do gigs and that live audience, you know, experience. Is that something that you've missed, and will you be getting back to it as soon as you can?
Yeah, I have missed it. It's a good question. I mean, I did an unplugged. Little section of an open mic session the other night, where normally it would be, you know, very sociable, everyone there having a drink and up on stage with the lights and the sound, and everyone's just playing from their home. So that's great because, you know, we get to sort of stay in touch and still see people perform. But I do miss having it actually in a venue with that kind of vibe that you can only really get from live music. So I can't wait to get back to perform on an actual stage.
Definitely. And I think audiences can't as well, because there's something about that that experience of having the live audience and the performer that just doesn't match with, you know, being online. It's just not the same. I think it's that atmosphere has really been missed universally almost. Have you got any plans to get back to? Have you got anything planned, you know, any gigs planned or any plans to tour? What's planned for the future as soon as you're able to?
Well, I've got a 30-minute set again from home coming up in on a week on Sunday, but nothing booked in for, you know, post lockdown, because I guess we don't exactly know when that's going to be. But I what I really want to do is just try and play as many sort of open mics and then get full sets you know, booked in the local area, because I think that's really gonna make me feel like it's back. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
I think we all are, definitely.
So it's Sunday, March the 28th, if people are listening to this, whenever they're listening to it, March 28th, 2021, just to sort of set it in the time machine. That's
yes.
The date when you're back live via Zoom or via some kind of telephonic medium.
It's the St Albans Arts Isolation Cafe on Facebook. So it'll be a Facebook live stream there, 30 minutes. I'll do a few of the songs from the album and a few others. It's going to be good.
Quite literally, sake, not sick, sake, the St Albans Isolation Cafe. Genius. Jessica, will you be tuning in to the St Albans Isolation Cafe, which sounds as though it should be a band in itself, really? I mean, you could actually have Mark J. Gidden featuring sake.
It really does.
Jessica, any thoughts or questions from yourself?
I'm very curious about how you got your started as a musician. Did you always see yourself doing something with music?
Well, I always enjoyed coming up with tunes when I was a kid, and I had some guitar lessons which were pretty unsuccessful. But then I saw a school band, when I was about 16 on a, you know, school kind of concert it just was so good to be there and watch people I knew perform on stage that I thought I want to do something like this. So I kind of got myself an electric guitar and learned a few chords, and I just found that I didn't enjoy doing covers that much, so I just wanted to come up with my own little tunes, little songs, and just I enjoyed doing that. So just had a number of bands from that point onwards, and have just continued to write and record music.
Do you think it's something that you want to do for the rest of your life?
Well, I mean, I'm not doing it full time at the moment, unfortunately, but I don't think I'm ever going to stop doing music, that's for sure. I mean, I've got the equipment to keep playing and recording, and I've got this record deal with Knob Music from St Albans now, so I've got my music out there on Spotify and everything, so hopefully it's going to go from strength to strength, and I'll keep doing it.
It's definitely good enough to. I completely think you will.
Cool, thanks very much.
There you go. Now, Katie, I know you were working on your keyboard skills during lockdown, keyboard and sign language, so multi-talented girl in many ways. Is this something which, rather like Jessica and Rebecca, you think you're going to add to your own playlists in terms of the album and such like?
Yeah, definitely. I think with how everything is at the minute, you need music, what's positive and what'll take your mind off the current situation. So, yeah.
Mark, you're helping to save the world and keeping life positive. I've got to ask the question. Now we can see your guitars in the background. Are there other moments where basically you have, I mean, you obviously have your favourite guitars, but are there sort of times where you sort of think that, now which one shall I use today? Which one do I feel drawn to? And do the guitars respond in kind? Because I can always feel it personalised the guitars, really.
Well, I've got my Jaguar, which is the best looking guitar that I own, but it doesn't stay in tune as well as my Pacifica, which is this one, which I've had since I was 19. So that's the one. That's my favourite in a way for various reasons. Sentimentality, I suppose.
So the Pacifica as opposed to the Jaguar. Sorry, Katie, go.
How many have you got behind you?
Oh, not two. Oh, I've got a bass and I've got two electrics and two acoustics.
So cool.
And you haven't decided to do, as indeed I think Jimi Hendrix was approached to, play them both simultaneously. You know, you're not going to go that far.
Well, I don't. If you listen to my album, I don't think anyone's going to confuse me with Jimi Hendrix. But so I kind of work around my, what I can do on the guitar, and try and do the best I can and come up with some interesting ideas. But playing two at the same time, I'm not sure I'd know where to start.
Very sensible answer. Rebecca, any other thoughts you'd like to add?
Yes, while talking about guitars, how long have you been playing it for?
Well, I suppose I started playing it seriously when I was 16, so we're talking approaching 30 years, so I probably ought to be a bit better by now, but I guess the style of music...
That's almost in the time of the Beatles, Mark. Unbelievable.
Well, when I started, I think the Beatles was more recent than that. It didn't seem recent to me at the time, but a lot of time has passed since I first picked up a guitar.
Did you know as soon as you started to learn that was what you wanted to do? Because I think some people think, oh, you know, this is a great idea, I'll learn an instrument. I'm speaking on out of experience here. And then realise it might not be as one easy or as enjoyable as you thought. So did you pick up the guitar, start learning, and think, yes, this is what I want to do?
Well, I'd struggled with guitar at school, classical guitar, at when I was about 10, and I thought it wasn't for me, and I tried piano, and that's all about reading music, and I just found that very, very difficult and required a lot of practice. But when I got to electric guitar and learned some chords, I just thought, this is like, it's so simple to get started. Obviously it's not simple to be like Jimi Hendrix, but it's so simple to start off and just have some fun and come up with some tunes. So I think, from that point, it was going to be guitar for me.
I'm the complete opposite to you there. It's funny you said that. See, I'm a pianist. I don't know if you can see the piano in the background. I'm a pianist, but I can't play guitar. I always tried to learn it as a child and just never... I don't think I enjoyed it as much because I couldn't get the hang of it. So
hurts the fingers, Rebecca. Hurts the fingers.
Yeah, there you go. So I gave up on guitar and yet stuck with what I love. So I think it's, you know, it's a personal thing, isn't it? You know, what you enjoy, mm-hmm. and you know what you're going to stick with. So it's really interesting you mentioned that.
Yeah, I do. We do have an electric piano downstairs, actually. And there's a song on the album called Thank You at the end, which is an instrumental. And I did write that on the piano. But apart from that, it's all guitar-based.
Amazing.
The attitude of gratitude. Curiously, I was going to actually finish off the whole interview with Thank You, which is nice. But actually, Mark, what would your track actually be? We've already heard, obviously, a couple already in this particular piece. Kicked off with Fool Yourself, of course, Disaffected, the suggestion from Jessica from that point of view. Thank You is there. But is there one else, is there something else which you think, actually, you know, St. Albans, I like St. John, you know, Molecules, that's a whole key thing there. Uninvent, interesting sort of case of retrovision there. Where would you like to take us? What's your choice?
Well, the last single off the album was You Dress Quite Well, but there's a particular favourite of mine, which is the penultimate track, She to Me. So I'd probably choose that one.
Okay, well, Jessica is now going to put one of those last two questions to you, and I think Rebecca will do the other one. So Katie will just sort of play keyboards in the background and chill for the moment, because it's all wonderful. Jessica, first question from yourself, please.
Mark, have you had a very interesting Zoom link with us today?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
It's the American. It's the American, Jessica. Nobody can understand. You know, you start asking those American questions and people say, what? Where? Try it one more time, Jessica.
Have you had a interesting...
I didn't catch. There must have been a sound issue. I have had a very interesting and enjoyable Zoom conversation. So sorry about that, yes. Very much so.
Can we be welcoming you back then?
Absolutely, yes. Love to come back.
There we are, you see. Rebecca straight in there. No messing about whatsoever. You can understand now, Mark, why the Boston Tea Party actually occurred. It was just a problematic issue. People were confused about the translation. Never mind, Jessica. Yes. We appreciate it. Katie, we'll see you again. Jessica, we'll see you again. Rebecca, likewise. Mark, it's been awesome connecting with your good self. How can people get in touch with you via the socials? We talked about them earlier, but what's the best way of actually keeping appraised of Mark J. Gidden?
Well, I'm on Facebook with a Mark J. Gidden music page, and I'm on Twitter at Mark J. Gidden, Instagram at Mark J. Gidden. So if you can remember my name, then please get in touch.
Always important, as indeed is the J, which we haven't actually asked. What does the J stand for? You don't have to reveal it, but it's just a sort of a point, really. Is it John? Is it Jackson? Is it Jehoshaphat? We don't know.
It's James after James Hunt, the racing driver. So
wow, yeah, there we are, the late James Hunt. Long before Lewis Hamilton started winning things, there was James Hunt and his golden hair. Marvelous.
He was a bit roll as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. It's just a whole new world there. We could actually start up a whole interview. Mark, would you like to finally wrap up the piece by introducing yourself with the number you've selected? Over to you.
Yes, so hi. Thanks for listening. I've been Mark J. Gidden, and this track is called She to Me.
So
Vitamins, so important. We've frequently said that you can't actually run a top-class automobile and actually put sugared water in the tank and expect it to actually maintain its efficiency. Same with human beings, really. And especially when we start coming around to the notion of vitamin D, which you may well think, yeah, I know all about vitamin D. Well, perhaps. But according to Yakult, a recent survey, according to Yakult Light, suggests that a quarter of people believe they can get their daily requirement of vitamin D by sitting next to a window on a sunny day. No. To address this myth and indeed put us in the right direction of why vitamin D is so important, we're delighted to welcome dietitian and vitamin D expert extraordinaire, the fabulous Dr. Louise Durrance, to the programme. How are you, Louise?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Splendid. Now, vitamin D, talk to us a little bit about why it's so important to our overall well-being, and also can impact in terms of how we cope with things like the dreaded COVID-19.
Yeah, so vitamin D is really important for our bone health and our teeth health and also our muscle function. But it's also important for maintaining the normal function of our immune system, which obviously at the moment is very important and very topical. So, you know, the strongest evidence is around its role for bone health, helping us to develop strong bones at a younger age and then helping us to maintain our bone health throughout our adult life. But immune function is also a really important role for helping us just to support that normal functioning of the immune system. There isn't really the evidence at this stage to show that vitamin D can help to kind of prevent us catching COVID or, you know, reduce symptoms if we did catch COVID. But it's just in general important for keeping our immune system working as it should be.
Now, it's fair to say that as far as the British culture is concerned, we tend to have a bit of a love-hate relationship with vitamins. Sometimes we say, yes, we need them. Other times we think, no, we don't need them, etc. As you just said, vitamin D is an important partner in the sort of combination of good health, etc. But what about that myth that we started off with by saying, if you sit next to a sunny window, fine, you'll just start making your own vitamin D. You don't need supplements.
Yeah, so vitamin D is one that most people know you can make from sunlight exposure. So, you know, by being outdoors, directly exposing your skin to sunlight, we can make vitamin D from sunlight. But there's a few kind of factors around that you have to consider. So one is that the rays of sunlight don't come through a window. So you do need to be outdoors, not on the other side of a nice window. But the other thing is that people tend to think you can make it from the sunlight all year round. So say on a winter's day, it's nice and warm and sunny outside, people think they can make vitamin D. But actually, between the months of about October to March, even when it's nice and sunny, you can't make vitamin D from sunlight. And that's because the sun isn't high enough in the sky. So we have to get certain wavelengths of sunlight to be able to make vitamin D. So a really easy way to know if you can make vitamin D is by measuring the length of your shadow. So if your shadow is shorter than your height, you'll be able to make vitamin D. But if it's longer than your height, you can't make any vitamin D. It doesn't mean it's not great to be outside and enjoying fresh air and all the benefits you get from that, but you just won't be making vitamin D at that time.
Now, in terms of obviously giving our vitamin D intake a boost, presumably that's where Yakult Light can actually help as well from that point of view.
Yeah, so Yakult Light have some vitamin D added into the product. They're one of several different fortified foods, we call them, that you can get in supermarkets. So there's also products like breakfast cereals that have had vitamin D added in and other dairy products as well. You can also find vitamin D in kind of natural food sources like oily fish, salmon, mackerel, sardines, red meat and liver. Eggs are a good source and some mushrooms. But it actually can be quite challenging to get all the vitamin D you need from just those sources. So fortified foods become really important. But also for some people, they will need to consider supplements. So if you're not getting out in the sunlight, you're covering up your skin for cultural reasons perhaps, then you really need to be thinking about a supplement on top of those dietary sources.
And it's worth noting as well, I was interested, that there are two different forms of vitamin D, both of which are kind of important really to our overall well-being.
Yes, and actually this was what a lot of my PhD research was on when I was at university studying vitamin D. So I was looking at the two forms of D2 and D3 and whether they're equally effective. And both are able to increase your levels of vitamin D, there's no doubt about that. But actually vitamin D3 does so at about twice the rate. So you can take the same dose as the two forms and your levels rise quicker if you're taking vitamin D3. So that's the form that we make from sunlight ourselves and is found in kind of oily fish, liver and eggs. Vitamin D2 is the source that you would find in products that are suitable for vegans, because D3 actually comes from an animal source. So if you're following a vegan diet and you're consuming products that are fortified with vitamin D, it's probably D2 that is added into that. It doesn't mean it doesn't work. It absolutely does work, but it's just not quite as effective as vitamin D3.
Makes perfect sense. Louise, where would you suggest people can actually go to find out further information if they just caught part of this piece? I think, what's she talking about with vitamin D? I think it's important. Where can I find out more information?
Yeah, so NHS.uk obviously have a lot of information about vitamin D in general, but also Yakult.co.uk has some information about how much vitamin D is in Yakult Light and other information that might be interesting as well.
And do you sometimes find, Louise, that this is a kind of constant Sisyphean battle that's like pushing a rock up the hill backwards? Because, you know, we talk a great deal about the importance of nutrition. I can recall back in the day in the sort of 70s and 80s where fish, liver oils, milk, butter, eggs, all kind of recognised aspects of vitamins and so on. Do you think we are getting to the stage where people are realising that it is important what they're consuming and also the significance of taking nutritional supplements into their everyday diets?
Yes, it's really challenging because quite a lot of the time the messaging is that you can get all your vitamins and minerals from following a healthy, balanced diet, which is the case for the majority of vitamins and minerals, except for vitamin D. Really, it's quite unique in that sense. There isn't enough dietary sources in high enough quantities for you to get the amount that you need on a daily basis, which is around 10 micrograms a day.
Which is the whole essence of the whole argument. Doesn't sound a lot, but it is significant, those 10 micrograms. Dr. Louise Durrant, dietitian and vitamin D expert, huge thanks indeed. Keep on keeping on and be healthy.
Thank you very much, you too.
So are you heading back to the office? Are you heading back to school? Have you got instances where you're a little bit concerned? Maybe you're going to get the vaccine. Maybe you're not going to get the vaccine. Who knows? But the bottom line is, doubtless you're concerned about conditions in the office, in the school, in the workplace and so on. And to actually talk about this and recent findings with respect to this very important aspect, we're delighted to welcome the Chief Executive Officer of Indeed Cleanser. That's a wonderful Luke Harris. Luke, how are you?
I'm very well, Alex. How are you?
I'm okay. And, you know, in terms of this pandemic world in which we live in, I mean, obviously people say, oh, vaccines are going to solve everything. That's going to take time. This survey that you've conducted suggests that a lot of people are actually saying, look, if we are being forced to go back to school, forced to go back to the office, et cetera, after getting used to working from home, et cetera, it's pretty much a right for us to actually not just request, but demand that our employers are really looking after us in terms of the quality of air that we're expected to breathe.
Absolutely, yes. So employers have a massive responsibility towards their employees to make sure that the environment they're bringing them back into is safe. We have the pandemic going around at the moment with the portions of people that are saying that they possibly might not get vaccinated and various strains that may mutate, etc. We need to know we're safe so that we can get this economy moving once again.
So from that point of view, and given this survey that Cleanser have actually put together, more than two-thirds of people think that their employer should do more to keep them safe. More than three-quarters think schools should actually do more to keep their children safe. Is there a way in which the material you're responsible for, this air purification technology, can actually help the matter?
Yes, it can. So the air purification system that we install is an ionisation system. These positive and negative ions are directly put into the atmosphere of that room. They attach themselves onto the pathogens and they neutralize it by withdrawing the hydrogen from the cell. The pathogen then becomes inert, so it can no longer infect people, so making it so much safer. And it's been tested to destroy 99.9% of COVID-19 pathogens in the air.
Which is phenomenal success. But on that basis, why isn't it a done deal that actually the government are rolling these things out? I mean, that's obviously the question from that point of view.
Exactly. The government are very much on the point of view that ventilation is the way to go. Ventilation is very cheap on people if you only are having to open a window. However, opening a window, what benefits does it really have against COVID-19? Okay, it's a dilution point. Yes, it will help. But what if the temperature is -2 degrees outside, like when my children went back to school in December before it was called off again? You've then got to heat that air. The same goes for in the summer. You open the windows and it's 32 degrees outside. You're in an office working. It's not comfortable to be working in an office environment such as that. So we're trying to work with the government and giving them another solution that they just have to look at to give people the confidence that we as people need to do more in air quality for our schools and our offices.
Obviously, there are other areas, theatres, restaurants, there's a whole sector of people that actually will be sort of interested in terms of this. And this would seem to make slightly more sense than actually looking for vaccination passports and other sort of aspects that people have been talking about in terms of what you're going to need before you'll even be allowed into particular places. I mean, roughly how much time does it actually take to install? Is it easily installed? What's the kind of general process that people should actually go through or expect to go through if they say, we want to actually go with CleanseAir and Luke Harris?
Yeah, no problem. We have a very, very wide range of products available. So they're from a very small portable system that goes in very small rooms, up to standalone systems that can be installed into open plan ceilings, direct into atmosphere via fans, or we can install the products into existing ventilation systems that are already in place in the large office buildings. So we have every scenario covered. All we need to know is the size of the room volume and the number of people that are potentially going to be in that space.
And in terms of, say, time or disturbance, I mean, I can understand people actually saying, we can't get the builders in, it's going to be a nightmare from that sort of point of view. I mean, how challenging is it to actually install in the kind of variety of buildings we've obviously got in the British Isles?
Yeah, some are just literally plug and play. You put the box on top of the table or in a corner of a room and you plug it in. Simple as that. Others into large ventilation systems, they have existing facilities companies or HVAC engineers that will very, very easily put these into the existing systems with no downtime at all. And the standalone systems that go into the ceiling, a standard general maintenance engineer could install one of these systems within 5 to 10 minutes.
So, allowing for that, where can people actually find out further information about CleanseAir and indeed the services that you're offering?
We have the website of www.cleanseair.co.uk, or they can give us a call on 01480 831010, and we're here to help.
Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com, keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Well, World Sleep Day is just around the corner. Some might say we've actually slept through the last year. Maybe not. But it does seem as though teenagers in particular have been seeking medical help for sleep issues during the pandemic, with many actually turning to counselling, pills and more in terms of the whole sequence of this whole side of things. And this research has been commissioned by the UK's leading bed retailer Dreams, has indeed revealed that pandemic-driven anxiety is one of the major factors that's actually causing poor sleep habits. Who to turn to when we've actually got poor sleep habits? Well, certainly it has to be clinical psychologist and sleep expert, Dr. Julie Smith. How are you, Julie?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm great. Now, in terms of this particular finding, I mean, we're well aware that anxiety is something that kind of permeates our society now, whether you're an undergraduate at university, whether you're an adolescent, whether you're a teenager at school and so on. And the pandemic, presumably, again, is clearly, as this research has demonstrated, had a major effect on that.
Absolutely. I mean, a teenager's been dealing with lots of difficulties with homeschooling, especially if the family environment is stressful, they've had exam stress, and they've been isolated from their friends, which at that age is a big factor for young people in terms of how they sort of cope. They, you know, they chat to their friends, and there's been lots of sort of an increase in online bullying. So there's just been lots of things, you know, the list goes on in terms of the pressures that they've been facing. So this year, the Dreams Sleep Better Festival is dedicated to our teenagers who, you know, have been hugely affected by the pandemic.
I'm intrigued to actually see that one in four teenagers have actually told their parents about their sleep difficulties. That means, you know, over 75% haven't. Is that just because they kind of feel as though, well, it's, you know, parents have got other things to worry about, they might be having their own sleep issues, let's just not talk about our own sleep problems?
Yeah, certainly that's what the research suggests, that, you know, lots of young people aren't talking to their parents about it. And we don't know why, but it's certainly important for us to understand, because lots of these young people are then, you know, suffering on their own. And any adult who has ever struggled with their sleep, which lots of us have at certain times, will know that it just impacts on everything in terms of your well-being and how well you're able to function in the day. So it's certainly something that, you know, teens seem to recognise that it's important to get a good night's sleep. They recognize that it will help them to feel better and function better at school, but they just need a bit of help to get there and achieve it.
And presumably, we're back to the old bête noire of sleep specialists everywhere, using mobile devices and tablets and all of the screen-based systems doesn't exactly help the mind to kind of settle into a restful state.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's all about light. So the most direct way to influence your sleep cycle is your exposure to light. And if you have, you know, really bright exposure to light during the first hours of being awake, then that's really good for your sleep cycle because it sets this clock ticking to enable us to then fall asleep at the right time later in the day. But if we're looking at bright screens later in the evening, that's actually going to reset our clock and make it difficult to get to sleep. So it's more about the brightness. So if we can turn the brightness right down and then switch the screens off as early as possible, then it's going to help.
NHS England, of course, recommends that teenagers should get between 8 to 10 hours per night. In terms of that whole system, is that something which you can almost create more anxieties by saying, oh, I've only got 7.5 hours, I've got more, etc. Presumably that's an average and you shouldn't over fret about how many hours sleep you are actually getting.
Yeah, I think it's about, aiming for that or giving yourself the chance to have that. But yeah, we don't want to sort of increase our anxiety by, you know, monitoring the exact number of hours and those sorts of things. It's really about how you feel and how you feel able to function during the day. So there is variation within that for sure.
So as we mentioned, Friday the 19th of March, World Sleep Day. Just share with us in terms of that. Is that a case of we celebrate the joys of being completely unconscious for at least 8 hours, ideally?
Yeah, so the festival is held by Dreams, and it's around sharing sort of challenges that we face around sleep and coming together to sort of share advice and tips to help. This year, it's all dedicated to the teenagers, so it's to help teenagers work out how they can sleep better and feel better. So as a part of that, I'll be going live this evening on the Dreams Facebook page at 7:30 to share lots of tips from therapy around how we improve our sleep cycle and get back to that sort of normal sleep pattern.
And given that you have over 2 million TikTok followers and over 350,000 Instagram followers, obviously a whole range of things going there, 20,000 YouTube subscribers. Julie, how can people actually not only get in touch with your good self, but also find out more about the Dreams Sleep Better Festival?
Sure. So the Dream Sleep Better Festival is, you know, head over to the Dreams Facebook page. There's lots of information on there. And as I said, I'll be going live this evening and we'll be, you know, answering questions and talking all about sleep. So if any teenagers out there are struggling with their sleep, or parents that are struggling with their sleep or trying to support a teenager, then come and join us and we'll have a good chat and share lots of great tips.
And have you ever had any particular challenges yourself, Julia? Is it a case of, no, I sleep the sleep of the just, I'm instant, my head hits the pillow, that's it, I'm gone?
Well, I have three small children, so my sleep is golden, and I'm usually tired enough that it's never a problem to fall off to sleep. But actually, during the pandemic, you know, there are times of stress, aren't there? And I have noticed for the first time in my life, you know, times when it's been a struggle to get to sleep. So I've really made use of lots of the tips and skills and sleep hygiene and things like that we'll be talking about this evening to good effect. So, yeah.
Well, particularly apt that in one instance, you've got Sleeping St. Joseph's, Feast of St. Joseph on the 19th of March, World Sleep Day on the 19th of March. There's obviously a message coming across here. For the moment, Julie Smith, clinical psychologist extraordinaire. Huge thanks, Dr. Julie Smith, and happy World Sleep Day.
Happy World Sleep Day. Thanks for having me.